Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Views, the podcast where Thanksgiving is coming up.
Yep, I'll be having dinner with my ex-wife and her boyfriend, Dave.
Holy shit, nothing says family like...
A broken family.
All right, roll the intro music. Before I start the podcast, I want to address this real quick because I know it's going to be brought up later. So I just want to get it out of the way right now. I was filming a TikTok yesterday and and I was sitting on the couch and it was a funny TikTok. And then after my fourth try of trying to film it, Ella burst into laughter. And I'm like, there's no way the fourth time is that funny as the first time. And then Ella goes, David, can you put your testicle away?
I'm sitting on the floor.
My ball was hanging out of my pants.
So I'm literally sitting on the floor and I look up because I'm looking at making the TikTok and then I'm fucking eyesight vision is just a hanging ball out of
a hanging ball. Bro, and that's like the most embarrassing thing. I know it happens to you a lot, Jay, so you're probably not even fazed by this.
I feel for you, man. I know exactly what it feels like.
It's so weird.
I felt violated.
And then I couldn't look away, so I just kept on like being like, I can't look at you. And then yeah, I just burst out.
Oh,
laughing.
So you saw it like 5 minutes prior, but you were like, I'm gonna try to not say anything, but the ball just kinda kept looking at you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Was it a good looking ball?
What did
no,
it look like?
It looked like a mole
look like?
Rat.
Oh, what the fuck?
David.
I mean, what? I wasn't going to get my ball prepped for her.
It was just like, you know, basketball shirts and it's just that like thing hanging there.
Dude, I was so happy. Like, wasn't my fucking dick hanging out of my face? Oh, this is why. Because I don't wear underwear. Like, I was going to say. I've been on this no underwear thing.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what I'm wearing today? Underwear.
You got underwear.
Today he's wearing underwear.
Today I was like, okay, if I'm going to be around Ella. And that was the first time I felt actually genuinely uncomfortable around everybody.
And I couldn't stop laughing.
It really killed the mood for the TikTok I was making.
You gotta wear underwear, man. It's a place of work here.
Yes, no, I know. I didn't know I was gonna be in this position, and she was like fucking perfect. Like her eye line was exactly my testicles, so it was like fucking perfect viewing pleasure for her. So I'm sorry
about
that.
Saying testicles just makes me continuously.
I know. Yesterday I was calling him. I was like, Ella, did you see my testes?
I know. It's very bizarre.
I was trying to make it less.
I can't get the image out of my head.
Good.
Genuinely.
That's why you keep smiling at me all day. All right, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Okay.
I went to the AMAs yesterday. I had this thing I was doing for them.
Where?
What? The Microsoft Theater.
They had the AMAs. What do you mean?
Yeah, they had the. It's fucking crazy. I mean, it's like it's COVID lockdown. Like anybody, obviously, when you get in there.
Did you send a laptop with your face on it?
It was just a Zoom. Yeah. No, so when you get in there, obviously everybody's wearing masks.
Right.
And we got COVID tested a day prior or 2 days prior, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when we got there, you have to do another rapid COVID test. That's not really rapid. It takes about like 15, 20 minutes. So you're sitting in your car. You're like in your car, you know, and if anybody has COVID, they just fucking shut down the whole fucking shoot. I asked them, I was like, what happens if someone has COVID? And they're like, we got to shut this down. Yeah. So I was like, that's fucking insane. It was taking them like a really long time to get back our COVID test. And I was getting really nervous.
Yeah.
And then they came back and they were really stressed. And I was like, oh my God, we fucking have COVID. And then there was a dog that was coming up to us. That was like a bomb dog.
Yeah.
And he's like a bomb sniffing dog. And I was like, oh my God, fucking, they're sending the dog to tell us we have COVID.
Yeah,
like,
COVID dog.
Yeah, because he can't get COVID because dogs can't get COVID. So I was like, he's going to fucking come here and tell us. Like, he's going to put his paws on the windows and he's going to go, yo, guys, fucking hate to say it, but you have COVID. Can you follow me? And like, he was going to be like, yo, can you grab my tail? And then just fucking escort us out of the fucking. That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
But the dog was there to see if he had bombs, not to see if he had COVID.
The dog was there to see if he had bombs. Yes, yeah, so we got kicked out immediately because Megan had explosives on her. No. No, we were good.
Strapped to her chest.
Yeah, the test came back great. The dog was chill. The dog wasn't walking over to us. But it was fucking really, really. It's just a completely new world. Like having to sit. And then once you get COVID tested, you can't leave the area because now you've been, you know, the second you walk out, you're like in the open air again. And like everything's just like fucking down to like a science. It's very well taken care of.
Right.
And the people that are talking to talent, like at moments, I have to take off my mask because I'm on camera or whatever. So the people that are like taking you from place to place wear two masks and a face shield. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're fucking dealing with like little zombies. Like it looks like they're like interacting with people that have been in a nuclear explosion.
Right.
So it's a really different environment. But you know, kudos to them because
did you present?
Yeah, I wasn't presenting. I was a spot after Justin Bieber's performance. I was like talking about like that performance is great. And then Justin and
the prompter.
Yeah, I read the prompter.
How'd and that go?
It was great. It was a lot better than last year because there was nobody in the audience. So it was just me and like all the producers there and I was just like reading it to them. So there's no
live
pressure. No, it was live.
Oh, it was live.
I was presenting after Justin's piece. Yep. And which was really cool, by the way. I got to watch Justin and Sean sing together for the first time, which was like really fucking cool. And the coolest part is no one was watching them, like other than the people working it and literally me and Megan. And it was really cool because like it was just like it's so cool to see two creatives like that like do their thing.
Amazing.
And like there's no creatives in the world that is like when YouTubers collab, like that's not exciting. Or like even when like actors collab, like it's not like as powerful as like when two singers are there like singing about something that means so much to them, especially like two kids that kind of had like the same upbringing and had the same like rise to fame that was so quick and abrupt.
Yeah.
Like it was really cool to watch them sing about a song that like was like so special to them. So that was sick.
Wait, did Justin Bieber do the one where he's like singing about his childhood, that one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the one he did on SNL?
He did all three. So he did Lonely, then he did Holy, and then he did Monster with Sean. And then my bumper at the AMAs was I was saying how great the performance was and how T-Mobile's giving away a phone to somebody and merch, Justin's merch, like Justin's signed merch. And they gave me one of his merch items to hold to show the camera, and it was signed, and it was beautiful. And I was done, and I was just like, okay, like I could go home. So I left with the merch. I was just like, no one's fucking here taking it from me. I was like, I'm going to walk out. And like my knowledge from award shows is like whatever's in your hand at the time they tell you to leave,
sure,
you can walk out with. Yeah. Like I've left with awards that aren't mine and they're still sitting on my award shelves because no one asked for them.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I'm leaving with this. It's merch. I'm sure they have like others that he signed. And we get a call today. They're like, yo, did you guys walk away with the signed merch? Because I was going to send it to my friend Shannon Healy, this is so random, but she's a huge Justin Bieber fan. And when I collabed with him, she like messaged me about him and I was like, I want to send it to her. She lives in my hometown. And they call. They're like, yo, did you take the Justin Bieber merch? And first Megan was like, no. And I was like, why the fuck did you lie to them? Like, why did you lie to them? And then Megan called back and was like, yeah, we have it. And they're like, it's the only one. Like, that's the only one that they were
giving
away.
That was the one that was going to the
T-Mobile
fan.
That was the one that
fan.
Someone was going to win.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I thought he signed five of them. But it was like this specific one. So I was like, fuck. So now we have to go give it back. Which kind of stinks, but I mean, hey, like, that's what we get for trying to steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, 99.9% of the time, that would have been in Shannon Healy's hands.
100%.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said anything.
I had this whole plan, too, that I was going to, like, fly to Chicago and, like, like hand deliver it to her myself. Like, I was really excited because she's a huge Justin Bieber fan.
And now you're being arraigned on Monday.
So, yeah.
For grand larceny.
Yeah, I'm going to court. But it was great.
I've been riding around thinking I'm going to get arrested because I found out I missed a court date.
Oh, you missed a court date?
Yeah. I got a traffic ticket looking at my phone like a year ago, and then I got another one.
Oh, fuck.
In the same exact spot, and I can't pay it because I think I'm wanted.
What are you going to do now?
I don't know. I don't know, move to Mexico? I'm not sure.
You know what TikToks have recently been on? Like, you know how like TikToks will like They'll like make you, like sometimes your feed will be all cats or whatever. Like right now I'm on cartel TikTok and I'm on jail TikTok.
Oh, how'd you get there?
I don't know. There's a lot of people that are on this. It's like a trend going around. There's a lot of videos from the cartel that are popping up, and it's like all of them smuggling like cocaine and stuff. And you have Mike. Like all of them, like
I love cartel TikTok.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really interesting.
I haven't
and like
seen it.
The one I'm on right now is like there was like a boat and there was like a shipment of cocaine.
It's like busts by the cops.
No, it's like straight up from like Android phones that are like horrible quality.
Oh.
And you see the cocaine like all laid out. This isn't busts. And then the
it's
next.
It's not so smart if you're a drug dealer.
Yeah,
or it's fucking dope. Funny.
Put it on TikTok. That's crazy.
Yeah, and the next day I saw cartel TikToks. But it was from the police point of view.
Uh-huh.
So it was like a police, like, whole task force driving into, like, a small town, like, with all the sirens. And it was, like, a hot police officer that flipped the camera to him. And, like, the top comment was, like, damn, I wish I was in the cartel now. I want him to bust me. So it was, like, funny that, like, now, like, I see both of the point of views from the cartel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what's popping. And then I saw another video of this guy in jail.
Yeah.
And he's in jail. Horrible phone. Like, the phone barely works. Obviously, he's in jail. But, like... He's like showing videos and he's like playing like fuck the police like through the, like that's his TikTok sound that he's using. And it's like the saddest fucking thing. And like everyone in the comments is like we're going to get you out of there, dude. We're going to like we don't even know what this guy did.
Right.
But everyone's like, man, we feel like this guy could have murdered like 15 people. But we're just like, we got to get him out of there.
Yeah.
So everyone feels bad for him. And he's made 6 TikToks already, and his whole thing is he's begging people to get him to like 1,000 or 5,000 followers, because then you can start going live, and then I think you can start accepting donations. Yeah. So like he's like, come on, get me to 6,000 followers so I can go live, and like it's just so crazy. This dude's fucking straight up in jail.
Wait, how do you have a phone in jail?
What?
Why are you just smuggling
a cell phone in jail?
Yeah, are you crazy?
It. You pay a guard off and you get it.
I've never heard of that before.
Oh my God, yeah, bro. People do that all the time. People sneak shit into jail all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure, but like a fucking phone is pretty crazy to have in jail.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's guards. Like, you just pay a guard fucking whatever, $100 and he sneaks the phone in. It's a pretty good deal for a guard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're already fucking stuck in jail.
That's why one of my biggest fears is to be in jail.
It is pretty horrible. But like, isn't it fucking so crazy? How you can just go to, like, not you can just go to jail, like, you just accidentally wind up there. But it's crazy how, like, other humans will go, whoa, what you just fucking did? You have to go in timeout from the real world for 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's such a bizarre thing to me. And, like, how, like, there's, like, driving by a jail is the craziest thing. How, like, you're on the highway and you're
yes,
like.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. And, like. There's dudes in there.
There's dudes in there, and they've been there for years.
Leave. Yeah.
And all they do is they just see the surroundings around them as if it was a green screen, and everybody else is just driving by, and like they'll never be able to climb the mountain that they see or like go on the highway. They're just stuck in that jail cell. It's such a
and the other thing I always think about too is like even if you get out and you're like 50, like just like all that lost time,
right?
Like your 20s and 30s. Gone.
Right, but if you're out when you're 50, you really did something fucking bad, right? Unless it's like some bullshit thing.
Maybe it's a drug charge.
Yeah, you got caught with marijuana.
Weed. Yeah.
Yeah, that is bullshit.
That's kind of fucked up.
But the thing that like is like I'm confused about is like I don't know, like you know how there's like I don't know if it's Sweden or Switzerland or where, but like the jails there are like fucking summer camps.
Right.
Like they believe in like you can't even go to jail there for any crime over like 13 or 20 years. There's some sort of rule where you can't spend, there's no life sentences for sure.
Murder, the most you can get is 19 years. Remember we watched it together?
Yeah. I don't know if it's 19 years. I don't know what it is. But yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's the max is 19 years because they rehabilitate everybody. And they believe that everybody gets a second chance, and this whole thing, the repeat offenders, those rates are a lot lower than anywhere else because of, I guess, just how they work their prison systems. And like, there's no like, nobody's in a cage. They're like in literal rooms that have like TVs and like nice sinks and like everything's clean.
They look like hospitals.
It looks like exactly like hospitals.
Yeah.
And like, so I don't know. Like, is that the way to do it? Or
the one
like,
scene that was interesting in the doc was there was like 5 guys all living together in this really, really nice prison, and like. 2 of them like were like robbers, but they were like right next to the murderer.
Right.
And they were like all talking to him. And he
no,
was
the
like,
craziest part about the doc we watched was the woman prison guard. She was just like hanging out with the prisoners in like this common area where one guy was like working an oven, and like he was microwaving his food, and it was like 5 of them hanging out. And
it's
the
like
guard
an
was
office, basically.
And the guard was just sitting on the couch with them, just talking.
Can I just jump in?
Yeah. My teacher, Mr. Killinger, is here. He's been in jail, so you have some things to say.
David's trying to get his GED, so he's brought Killinger here for good.
No, just in terms of where this conversation's going, I mean, that's the punishment should be that you're removed from society.
Right.
And that's it. Anything worse in terms of like when you've seen inside of prisons how terrible the conditions are, it's like that shouldn't be an additional punishment. Like, you are removed from society, you're in like a prison area, but then, you know, and then you can be rehabilitated, you get educated and like, right, you know, counseling and stuff, and then you come out, as opposed to, yeah, in the United States, it's like, yeah, we're going to remove you, and you're going to be in a tiny cell, and it's going to be with a bunch of other people. We're not going to educate you on anything. You're going to potentially get raped in the shower. Like, it's
and you're going to rot in there. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then, well, so another, not to get on like my high horse here or like a soapbox or whatever, but like, but part of it is that in the United States, a lot of prisons are run privately, like they're corporations. And so they are, all they want is for people to come back into prison.
Well, this is too much knowledge for our podcast here.
We like is this to keep not it how light. Things normally go here?
We like to keep it light, Killinger.
Gotcha. Well, I've got a light.
I've never even heard the word corporations before.
So I mean, yeah, they're businesses. So the right, way they make money is to have more prisoners. And okay, so they're like, we're not going
to
educate you. We're not going
to
get you counseling. We want you right back.
Even minimum wage.
Right. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. Like, I think that's like a better way to like rehabilitate somebody. But to play devil's advocate, let's say you're mother was brutally murdered by somebody, like would you be like send him to this summer camp where he, or would you be like fucking have this guy rot in this prison?
I completely understand that perspective, but like you've got to
take yourself out of it.
Yeah, you've got to take emotion out of it. Like, of course, if somebody killed my mom, I would stab him with my bare hands, but like right, but that's why it's not up to me.
With your bare hands, like you use your middle finger.
I would just, yeah, just jab him just enough times, just like one of these like sharp motions like this, and I would
you
just
wouldn't cut your nails for a while.
Right,
just hope that
exactly that would be
my mother.
Exactly. You'd be so confused getting stabbed by my
right,
fingernails.
No, okay, I know what you mean. So I guess you can't be biased in that way. And
right, right. Yeah, oh, exactly. Okay. If we punish people based on like the feelings of the victims and their families, then it's like everybody would be
the whole world's
like, it would
blind,
be terrible. Right.
And,
yeah, exactly.
An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
If you ever thought about it, you get into a situation where it looks like you murdered them but you didn't, you're innocent.
Oh my God.
And then you have to like move to Oklahoma and completely start a new life. And like, what would you do? Like, I would do that. I would never, ever try to go to jail. I'd be like, I'm gone.
Like if you're wrongfully convicted or you're like, you were about yeah, to be, and you saw the chance to like escape and
yeah,
leave.
If you had a chance to go and get a new identity and you go to like a small town in Montana.
I'd totally leave. Yeah. I'd pull fucking so much cash out and I just leave. I would never come back.
What would your new alias be?
Albert.
Albert what?
Einstein.
Dobrik. Hey, Chief, look at this. This guy's got the same last name as the guy we're looking for, but a different first name.
Albert Dobrik. I think more suspicious would be if I was Albert Einstein.
Yeah, that would be.
Hey, Chief, is there an Albert Einstein that you know about? There's a George Clooney living in Oklahoma?
We were just watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's my favorite show.
They're shooting the new season right now.
Are they really? Oh, that's right. No, we did see that.
Are they?
But do you remember the one where they go to Dodger Stadium where he takes the prostitute
yep,
to Dodger Stadium?
Yep.
So in that episode,
that's so funny.
There
that's
was a guy.
Sentence. Wow.
There was a guy who was, I think, on trial for murder, or the cops.
Do you know why he takes the prostitute?
No.
So he can use the HOV lane.
Oh.
Because he's going to be late for the game, and a prostitute's like, hey, baby. And he's like, get in the car. We're going to the Dodgers game so I can take the
pretty funny,
carpool
so he
lane.
Can beat the traffic.
Oh, so
right,
he's the
very
carpool
Larry
lane.
Thing.
That is really funny.
Very Larry thing to do, yeah.
That's so clever. That's fucking, that's really
he's
funny.
The best. I tried to show these guys Curb Your Enthusiasm once, and like,
I didn't give enough of
it.
The
they liked it. Not just these guys, like Zane was here, and they liked it. They only laughed like three times.
It's the best. I think we've been through
but
the
maybe
whole
you have to watch
like
more
times.
Of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in that episode, there was somebody who was like on trial for murder, or the cops had just picked him up or thought he was guilty of killing somebody. And he got off because at the time of the murder, they were shooting that episode. And he's in the video, like in the TV show.
Oh,
he's like,
I've heard of this.
Right.
Wait, what happened?
He was one of the extras.
Some extra.
He was one of the extras in the Dodger Stadium. Like in the actual show, he was one of the extras, and that was his alibi for why he wasn't at the crime.
Right.
Because he was shooting Curb
oh,
Your
wow.
Enthusiasm. Yeah,
that's
crazy.
So great.
Wow, that's really funny. That's why I do the vlogs, Jay. So whatever crime
I know.
Or wait, I used to do the vlogs.
So yeah, the last year we're fucked. If anything bad happens.
Yeah, fuck. Where were you?
I was shooting with Dave.
No,
you
weren't.
Did you get your toilet paper and everything for lockdown?
We've switched over to our hands here completely.
Okay, great.
Because just in case. It was Natalie's idea. Just in case the toilet paper is no longer available, in case the lockdown goes bad, we have... Hey, I'm
going to... have Natalie's new merch, too.
I'm going to ask a question. This is a little bit too much.
Come on, you
this
missed that joke.
This is... What'd you say?
I said, you have Natalie's new merch, too.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be using Natalie's merch. That'll be nice.
Very funny.
You guys ever used to... God, this is probably a European thing, so maybe, Ella, you can answer this. Do you guys ever used to, after you guys would go use the bathroom... This is when I was younger.
Oh, God.
Did you... When I would go number two, did you ever go wash your butt right after?
Why is that weird?
Because I would sit on the sink and wash my butt.
Shut up.
I swear to God. I was young, but it was like is that weird?
Well, that is very European because you were longing for a bidet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a bidet.
But your family didn't have one.
No. I would I'll make it less weird. I would sit on the edge of the bathtub and scoop water into my butt and wash it.
That's not weird.
It's not weird? Okay, so that's not weird. I'll tell you what I would actually do. I would sit on the sink and I would scoop water into my butt that way.
Okay, now tell us what you would actually do.
Okay, so I would have my mom blow water into my ass. No, the sink was actually, is that not weird, Ill?
It's a little weird that you're using the sink. Why don't you just use the bathtub?
Because it was a bathroom where there was only a toilet and a sink.
Well, sink makes more sense because your butt's closer to the water.
Well, no, you'd have to hop up on the
fucking
sink.
I would literally hop up. My feet were dangling.
You'd be dangling?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was a sink. I was fucking, I was young. I was 19 years old.
That's weird. I was going to say, I walked in on David doing that the other day.
I was young, but I wasn't that young. It was definitely, I was one of those guys, I told the story before, I was one of those guys where my mom was wiping my butt a little too late. I was definitely one of those guys.
Oh, how old?
Taylor laughed because Taylor's like, no, that's what I do.
How old?
I don't know how old.
11?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I don't know if it was 11.
Not 11.
What's 11? How old are you, 11?
Like 6th grade.
Charlie's 11.
Oh, no, not 6th grade. No, I wasn't in middle school.
I was in 5th grade.
No, I think, oh.
Third?
Second.
Second.
Second for sure.
That's not bad.
Yeah, a second. And I remember I was at my friend's.
It says Jason, who fucking babies the fuck out of his children. Oh yeah, dude, second grade, that's
but
fine.
I remember I was at my friend, I'll say his name. I was at my friend Sergio's house, and he was my age. And he was in the bathroom, and he goes, "Mom!" And my catchphrase was "Anya," because that's how you say "mom" in Hungarian.
Yeah.
And it got embarrassing when I got older, because then my dad would start laughing, and he'd be like, "Yo, just fucking wipe your own ass." and I'd always call my mom to come help me. Isn't that a fucking weird thing that why didn't I learn how to do that myself? Why was I so comfortable with my mom doing it? And Sergio called his mom in. We were both in the second or third grade, and "Mom!" And she went in there. And he came out, and I was I was fucking on to him. I was I fucking know what happened. I know what happened. And I was so happy to finally see somebody like me. And I was why'd she go in there? And he goes, "We didn't have any toilet paper." And I was "She didn't bring any toilet paper in there."
Dang. How can you bust your own kind?
Because I was about to be "Hey, I'm one of you." I was about to give him one of those. And he was, and I was "Did your mom just wipe your butt?" And he was "No." And I was "Dude, it's fine. My mom does it too." and he was "Oh my God, yeah, she did." And he had such a I still remember his laugh about it because it was such a moment where we're "Oh, thank God we both fucking do this." Yeah, I was very late on that train.
This is a question for Natalie and Ella. Do you guys use those wet wipes, those dude wipes?
Oh, I use those.
I know, you're not a woman though. Hold on a second.
People with hairy assholes use the wet wipes.
I don't use them.
Do girls not have hair on their asses?
No, you do, but not like a guy. Can you? Yeah, no.
Wait, time out. Right. Time out. Let's backtrack. You don't use wet wipes?
No, definitely not.
Why? Me neither.
Why? I don't need to.
Natalie, do you take big poops?
I know this is a really hot topic you think about often.
Not a hot. I wouldn't put a hot topic.
A hot, steamy, big topic.
Is it? Because I'm just wondering. Is it does it come out? Does it come out as a log sometimes? Or is it bunny pellets? I just don't know what it is.
What the fuck?
Ill, you don't think about this?
I totally do. I actually envisioned it when you said it. Very.
Is it does it sound like? And it's just pellets, or
oh
is
my
it
God,
like?
No.
Is it like
so fucking gross?
Yo, because is it like you hear the first touch of water, and then you hear the splash because no.
You guys never seen Two Girls One Cup?
Oh God,
I
that's
have.
Where we're going.
I mean, that explains it. That's proof.
I guess you're right. That does kind of say it. No, that's poop. That's proof. Nope, that's poof.
It's funny when you said your dad embarrassed you like that. My dad used to embarrass me so easily, probably because I was such a pussy, but...
I think I have to be careful of that when I have a kid. The thing that I love doing now with my friends and, like, with people around me now is I'd love to fucking embarrass them.
Right.
But I think I really have to watch that when I have a kid. Because I think it's a whole... That's good. I think it's a whole different game when you have a child. Like, you could say the wrong thing and it'll fucking... For the rest of their lives, it'll sit with them in a weird way. I always reference the moment when my dad pulled my pants down at a Little League baseball game. There was no one there. There was no one there. It was just on us on a baseball field. And he pants me. My underwear came with it. And I always remember, there's something about your penis hitting the wind and the open air of a baseball field that really knocks it back into your like memory for the rest of its life.
Yeah.
And, like, I think about that. I think about my tiny dick on that Little League field.
And if your mom didn't wipe your ass that day,
yeah,
it'd be really embarrassing.
Yeah, that was an embarrassing moment for
me. Wait, he was just goofing around?
Yeah.
That's
funny. Can we title this podcast Tiny Dicks on a Little League Field? Oh, man. No, don't do that. But that was a moment for me. My old high school teacher, Killinger's here again, and I'm going through his notes because he like writes down notes for the podcast, I guess, and they're organized. And there's like, look at this list. There's like at least 50 ideas.
Wow.
And the sections are random podcast shit, Jason, David's weirdness, David's friends, weird Vernon Hills high school stories, surreal post-fame stories, long stories. That's so fucking crazy.
I'll take David case. And Jason for 200.
I'll tell you one. My favorite Jason story was at the live show in Chicago when you guys did the podcast there. And I had just walked there from my apartment. I was hanging out with you guys backstage. And you guys were just like coming up with a show, like what you were going to do as we were backstage like an hour before what the show was going to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was like, and you guys decided that like Jason was going to, for one bit, like change into his Carmelita Jesus costume or like change into Carmelita, back and forth between those two. And Jason's like, well, I can't do it because I'm not wearing underwear right now. And David was like, no, you've got to do it. Like, I don't care. And Jason's like, I'm not going to get naked like right off stage. It has to be a quick change. Like, I'm not just going to be balls out like backstage. There's people around there. And you were insistent, David. You were like, you have to do this. Like, this is how this bit is going to go. And Jason's like, all right, well, I'm going to have to borrow your underwear then. And David, you were like, absolutely the fuck not. And then Jason just like slowly looks over at me and he's like, Killinger, can I borrow your underwear?
Wow.
And I wanted to help out. I like in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, you know, sure, no problem. Mm-hmm. But it was like an August day, and I like just walked there from my apartment. I'm like,
I don't mind.
I'm not gonna hand him like my sweaty underpants to change into right now. And so,
Jason,
that's kind of an apology to you, but also a hilarious story.
The thing is, he would literally not have cared. Like,
I don't care
if they were a little bit sweaty. I'd be like, that's fine. I mean, I'm gonna. Hey, you've been like, hey, I'm gonna get sweaty in him anyway. So who cares? At least you broke him in.
It was just
as long as we get the bit.
It was just my favorite bit. Just the dead eye, like completely serious, looking me like right in the eye. I need to wear your underpants that you're currently wearing right now. I'm like, no, sorry.
Did you end up getting underwear?
I did a few changes. I remember El Fresco.
Oh my god! Yeah, it was fucking nuts.
Yeah, luckily no one saw.
a funny thing. I like how you're expecting face right now. No, just that I wrote down this one note about how you seem way more excited to talk with me via text than when I show up someplace. It's so funny because like whenever you're reaching out to me like, oh, David, you know, wants you for this or thanks for doing this, it's all like exclamation points and like, and she
Natalie.
You respond with hearts to everything, and then like it's so funny because sometimes I'll show up someplace and I'll be like all jazzed up, like, oh, yeah, everybody's having a good time. Like, Natalie's going to be excited to see me. And it's always just like, oh, hey, Killinger. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's how
that's
it is.
That's so funny. Yeah,
right. You're a little deadpan.
You do that, Natalie. What is that?
I know, I do that. I text like a crazy person. Like, I am a completely different person when I text people.
That's so funny. That is such a Natalie thing.
Really you
hey, Killinger. It's like she's just like a shell, just like walking around like
totally.
Empty.
And
like, I have to text fun for my job. Did you get my fun text? Make sure to tell David they were extra fun.
I think that I'm bummed. Like, I think that I'm like that, and I type that way. But then when I'm in person, I'm not that way.
Right.
Yeah
you're no fun in person.
I'm a piece of boring shit. Yeah.
Speaking of shit, how big are shits? okay.
Is there ever a student that you taught that you just hated or you don't like? Or
there's one student that comes to mind where I just won't Like if I saw him in person, I would just ignore him as opposed to every other student I would like.
You won't
be
forget
super
him?
Excited. No.
It's been years.
So the story with that is that when I was the journalism teacher, I would take kids on field trips every year. To like journalism conventions that were like national things. So it was like every high school in the country would like
journalism convention.
Yeah, high school journalism conventions. Wow. They were a great time. And so I took kids to Boston this one year. Like, so we were there. It was like the second day. We were there for 3 days. We woke up on the morning of the second day, and I'm trying to get everybody together in the lobby of the hotel in Boston. And I'm like counting heads, and there's one off. And this one kid comes up to me. I'm going to change the student's name just for the sake of the story.
Yeah.
This one kid comes up to me and says, "We don't know where Mike is." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like, I watched you close the door when you guys went to bed in this hotel room last night. And then now it's the morning. Like, what do you mean you don't know where he is?" And he's like, this kid's like, "Well, he left last night. He said he was going to go meet some girls, and he didn't come back." And I start losing my mind.
My God.
Because it's in the middle of, it's downtown Boston. And,
oh my God.
And we went to bed like the last event.
And you're responsible for every student.
I'm responsible, exactly. So I'm like, this kid could be fucking dead. And so I'm having a panic attack. And not only that, but one of the chaperones that I brought with me was my boss, who was in charge of the entire English department.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my boss is watching me like lose a kid and lose my mind. This kid could be fucking dead in an alley somewhere. And so I was losing my shit. I was calling this kid nonstop, and I just went into like a different like mindset where I'm like, I need to track down this kid if it's his fucking dead body or what. Like, I don't care. I need to, like, I'm gonna get fired.
I need
fired
to bring
if
an
I
arm
don't...
back or something.
Right.
Like, I don't care if it's his eyeball.
Like, fingerprints, something. Exactly. Yeah, I need something. Eventually, he picks up the phone and he's like super groggy sounding. I'm like, "Hey man, where the fuck are you?" He's like, "Oh, I guess I slept in." I'm like, "That's bullshit, because I'm with your three fucking roommates. We're in the lobby right now. Like, what are you talking about?" And eventually, it's funny that this was at a journalism convention, because I was doing like detective work of like, trying to put the pieces together. But I eventually found him. He took a cab to a different hotel to meet up with some girls that he met at the journalism convention. And so like, I take a cab there. He like eventually tells me where he is. I meet up with him, and I'm like, I'm sitting down with him. I'm like, "It looks like I'm happy to see you, but it's only because you're alive. Like, other than that, I'm like at the end of my fucking rope, right? Like, I'm just going to, I told the story a couple weeks ago about how mad I was in like to a classroom, but this was like the most directed anger at like a single student I've ever had in my life. I'm like, "I'm going to strangle you." I'm like, "You're going home immediately. Like, I'm sending one of the chaperones home with you right now. I'm going to book a flight. I can't fucking trust you to stay here for another night. Like, are you out of your goddamn mind?" I heard stories later. It's like, "Yeah, you know, he hooked up with both girls that were in the room." Like, other students were telling me this. I'm like, "Listen, man, good for him. If he pulled off something great. If I were 16 and I could hook up with two other girls in another high school, like, good for him. But I also still want to murder him." But like, the repercussions were he had to fly home immediately. I kicked him out of my class. Like, he could not be a newspaper. I'm like, "I'm not gonna fucking deal with this kid. Like, look at him every day, like third period, like, oh, you know, what story ideas do you have today?" I'm like, "Get him the fuck out of my class. I never want to look at him again." And so yeah, that's the kid. Like, I actually did see him one more time. I was on like a lunch break a couple years later, and he was like delivering the food with like a bunch of other teachers, and he comes up and puts all the food down. He's like, "Oh, hey, Jeff." I'm like,
"Oh my God."
I was like, you know, I was like, "Hello." And then he walks away, and all the other teachers are like, "Ooh, Jeff." I'm like, any other student could call me Jeff and I wouldn't lose it. But like, that fucking kid, I'm Mr. Killinger for life to that kid, because I could have murdered him and should have. But
a punishment when he got back to school?
Yeah. I forget what it was. It was some kind of suspension. I think he was out of school for like maybe a week or something. Cause,
wow.
Like,
I would have, if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't have handled it that well.
I wouldn't have
known to send him home.
Yeah, I mean, that was my only option.
I feel like that's something that I would have done on a field trip, and I don't think I would have gotten a detention or gotten kicked back on the trip.
You think you would have gotten
away
with it?
Well, that's because you're
right, Dave. You sleep with two chicks, I doubt it.
That part was probably not it. I was probably going to meet up with some guys to play video games. But. So high schools are known for
they're boys and they're boners. I know this sounds weird, but I feel like there's...
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hold on.
What an intro.
I know it's an intro.
Welcome back on Boys and Boners. I'm Dave Dobrik.
I just know that there have been a lot of times when I was in high school, actually more in middle school too, where like there was a boner that I did not ask for and I was having to cover it up and I was like, does anybody else see what's going on here? Were there ever situations?
I've got a couple funny stories about that.
You got
that.
A couple of dicks you remember?
Two very memorable. No, so my wife was a teacher too, and I think she came back from work one day and was like, this kid, I was, you know, had this activity all planned and I was getting like supervised by my boss and I wanted the kids to get around and like move around the classroom and do this activity and like one kid wasn't getting up, right?
Yeah, he like I couldn't get him up to the whiteboard and
oh my god, this is like such a movie incident. This is like such a movie thing where like a kid doesn't want to go up to the whiteboard because he's a boner.
Yeah.
And so
I'd rather not.
But like I didn't know. So I told him about this and Jeff was like, Aaliyah, you can't just like ask people to come up to the whiteboard. Like if a boy says no, like there's a reason. Like I didn't.
Oh, that's like a rule in teacher code?
No, it isn't. I didn't know as a woman, and he had to explain this to his female colleagues as well. I didn't know that boys just like pop boners for whatever reason. Like I thought it was like in response to like a sexual stimuli.
So that's the thing. When you're 13, like almost anything is a sexual stimuli.
And that's what he kept saying. He's like, no, I just pop boners for no reason. And that was like fascinating.
No, that happens too. You get boners for no reason. There's no sexual stimuli.
Right.
Sometimes you're like not even horny and it's just hard.
When you're a kid?
Yeah. Now or ever. Yeah. I remember being in class and being like, I'm not horny, but it's fucking rock
yeah,
hard.
But at a kid, when you're like younger, it's like a lot more. Like the boners would come every period.
Yeah, like, but it wasn't like I was turned on by anything.
I was
just there.
I know. Yeah. I was learning about like the Great Pilgrimage.
We're here on Boys and Boners. So we're taking your calls.
Oh, so when you were a teacher, if a guy didn't want to come up to the board.
I got it.
Wait, that's happened. Has that ever happened to you?
It happened a couple times, and I had to explain it to my female colleagues as well, like because they would complain about boys. I'm like, you can't. It's, you know, yeah, like this
wow,
is just gonna
so
it's gonna happen. If a kid is like sitting in his chair like with terror in his eyes that he doesn't want to get up, just let him fucking vibe
always,
for a few minutes.
It's so weird. I would always get boners at the most inconvenient time, and it was right before passing period. It was right when the bell was about to ring, and I was about to go to my next class.
Yes.
And sometimes I would flip my backpack and I'd wear it on my stomach.
Yes, totally.
Or at the time they had like these binders. Remember those binders that they're like made out of like a fabric and you put everything in it?
And
like,
you just jam it against your pants to try.
Yeah, and it was just, I remember that was the horror for me. When I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, boners are going to be like a serious problem my entire life. Like it was like the same fear I had about like quicksand. Like when they teach you about quicksand, you're like, okay, got to watch out for those when I go hiking. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a fucking fear.
Yeah.
And boners and skunks. This is another, I saw this, it was a funny tweet. And like someone was like, when I was a kid, I thought skunks were going to be a way bigger problem. And that's the same thing with boners. I was like, dude, I'm going to fucking pop boners whenever when I'm older, like during meetings. But they do go away.
Yeah.
Dude,
and sometimes, you know, they're even hard to get now. Sometimes I wish I was younger.
All right, guys, that's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. Jason, any tips for people celebrating with their families, how to do it safely?
Just when you go to dinner with your family, don't say anything. Just be silent the entire time and try to get out there as quick as possible.
Yeah. And especially if there's somebody there like that's getting boned. And especially if your ex-wife is there and she's getting boned by her new boyfriend and he's there too, make sure to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And just be extra careful.
I'm going to wear headphones through dinner, so.
So he can't hear him have sex in the kitchen. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys later. My name is Jeff. Bye.